You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
The opinions that you may hear us express, expressly or otherwise, over the public's airways is in no way to represent the opinions expressed or otherwise by our management, producers, sponsors, or various members of their staffs or their families or few friends.
Nor should these views express the opinions of the broadcasters, the disc jockeys, the salesmen, the program and music directors, and their secretaries and girlfriends and wives and their staff.
Unless, of course, we are willing to assume that we can assume the responsibility that their opinions will not influence anyone else's opinions.
Or their family and friends.
And staff.
92.7 WMDX. John and Gordy in the morning. And the,
yes?
The sidewalk sweepers were out this morning.
Yes,
they were. In force, they were lined up down the street.
Yeah. Down on State Street, yeah.
There's a bunch of people with brooms.
Yeah, well, you know, these big brush machines that they have.
Right.
Do such a fantastic job, don't they?
Yeah, they had two of them lined up going right down the street.
It's a great dusting experience.
It is. There's barely any snow out there, but they're just getting warmed up for tomorrow, I think. Tomorrow we're expecting maybe 5 inches, 6 inches of snow. And right now it's 11 degrees. A high today about 19. We'll see mainly clouds this morning, a little bit of sunshine later. This portion of the John and Gordy Morning Show brought to you by Verlo Mattress. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress. Check them out on Madison's east side or Madison's west side, or go to verlo.com. Be sure to go in there and ask them about their lifetime comfort guarantee and tell them you want to hear Maddie the Mattress on the John and Gordy Show.
Well, I hope so. One of these days.
You know, do we even know if Maddie talks?
Well, we're going to find out, I guess.
I have a feeling it's going to be one of our best interviews yet.
Yeah. We can't wait. Can't wait. Got to line that up.
Well, there's a lot of things I can't wait for, and that is a return to the plastic straw. I'm really looking forward to having those back again. You know, it's just like the, what?
Well,
that's what you mainly get anyway.
The one good thing about this is that you can make a little like kazoo noisemaker sort of thing.
Yes, you can. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the whole thing here, you know, this is like when they complained about pigtail light bulbs, you know, the fluorescent light bulbs.
Right.
They really wanted to keep those, or they were just adamant about keeping their big gulp sodas. They really wanted they wanted the freedom to buy their big gulps or the pigtails, and you know, they just want to hold on to all these things that no one even thinks about anymore. And now we're going to have the plastic straws returned because no one's thinking about it. No one cares.
Nobody is aware of the climate change or believes in it.
Yeah.
In the administration, apparently. So.
And it goes without saying that manufacturers have moved on from the plastic straws.
A lot of them have,
Yeah, the market has kind of moved forward a little bit, and this guy wants to go back. Our orange president wants to go back to plastic straws because.
Yeah.
That's about it. Well, we've got a constitutional problem, as you know. I got to tell you, last night I was going through all of this show prep.
Yeah.
And I got so depressed, absolutely so depressed.
Really?
I just, stacked all the paper together, piled it up on the table, and I walked over to the chair, and I just fell asleep.
Really?
I didn't send any material to Sam, which I normally do each and every night.
Well, why didn't
I just couldn't handle it anymore. My brain shut down.
Well, usually when that happens, you call me up and, you know, start...
That's true. You are...
You know, I kind of act as your psychologist and
you are a light at the end of that dark tunnel.
Tell you, come on, John, buck up, buddy. You can do it, pal.
You've always been like that. You've been there for me, Gordy. But this time, I didn't even have a chance to call you.
Couldn't find your phone again.
I had to shut the brain down.
Really? Were you in the fetal position on the floor?
Not
curled
quite.
Up
I didn't even make it that
you
far.
You didn't make it. Okay.
So anyway.
Well, that's so sad. And
well, the thing that really depressed me more than anything is this comment from conservative attorney George Conway.
Oh, yeah.
He was on Morning Joe, and they had like eight guests.
Right.
And George started it off, which isn't a great way to start it off.
Well, I heard the same kind of comments.
You did. It stood out, right?
Yes, it did. It's very depressing because it's very real. You know,
yes.
This stuff is real. Not just making it up anymore.
I mean, you know, it has to do with Trump and JD saying that judges shouldn't have anything to do with second-guessing the president. Right?
Mm-hmm.
They shouldn't have anything to do with it. They shouldn't be able to put on hold all these freezes that they've put out there. They've actually literally stopped government cold. There's nothing left. And we got a story about the farmers in just a moment, but I want to get to this George Conway comment about the Constitution. This is rather depressing, and you might want to curl up in the fetal position, too, after listening to this. This is Cut 67.
Okay, here we go.
J.D. Vance is an embarrassment to the law school that I attended. But the fact of the matter is he's telling us something that we should have already known. And last week I said it. They are not going to obey court orders. They have decided that they are going to push the boundaries on executive power by basically infringing on the Article 1 power of Congress. And they are violating statutory, they're violating the Constitution, the text of the Constitution in the birthright citizenship issue. They are violating the text of statutes by having DOGE run around and do all the things that have been doing these executive orders. There's no reason that this government that has decided not to obey the laws and the Constitution of the United States is going to obey a court order. And as you know, Joe, having practiced law, there's really only one way that courts can enforce their orders when somebody is being contumacious or refusing to obey an order. And that's to send the U.S. Marshals out to take somebody in and to hold them in contempt or to otherwise enforce court orders. Well, who does the U.S. Marshals Service work for? The U.S. Marshals Service is part of the United States Department of Justice. It reports to Donald J. Trump. And what's going to happen here, mark my words, is that at some point, they are going to basically tell the United States Marshals Service, do not enforce any of these orders. We will not obey them, and you are not to enforce them. And once that happens, I hope it doesn't happen, but I know in my heart that it will. Our 236-year experiment in the federal rule of law, in democratic self-governance for the United States of America, in American constitutionalism, is essentially over.
That's
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's that.
All right. Now, this is because they don't want to follow the rule of law. That's why they have done what they have done. Just blow up the system, sent Ilhan out there to do all the dirty work so Congress doesn't get the blame. Mm-hmm. They don't have to make a decision on closing down these major administrative buildings that help make government run smoothly. They could do all of this cutting, all of this research if they wanted to, while these bodies, these administrative bodies, were still operating. They don't have to shut them down. They don't have to stop the flow of money. But they've decided to do that, and the judge says you can't do it. It's illegal.
Right.
And so the administration is saying, well, we don't like to follow the law anymore.
Yeah, multiple judges have
declared
this. Not just one judge.
That's right.
All the judges are saying the same thing.
Right.
But they're just going to ignore that.
And JD and Trump say that the judges shouldn't have this kind of power. But Mika Brzezinski had a list of Biden executive orders that were blocked by federal judges. Oh, my gosh, it happened to Biden, but
really?
It can't happen to Trump. Well, let's listen to Cut 68 here, this long list.
President Biden signed 162 executive orders during his term in office, several of which were also blocked by federal judges. One of his first orders created a 100-day deportation ban, but that was suspended by a judge in Texas who claimed the order could cause the state imminent and irreparable harm.
That can't happen.
Six months later, A federal judge in Louisiana granted a preliminary injunction against the Biden administration's suspension of new oil and gas leases on federal land.
That's outrageous.
Biden's vaccine mandate for federal contractors was blocked by a U.S. district judge in Georgia.
What?
In 2022, a Louisiana judge stopped the Biden administration from lifting Title 42, a public health order aimed at stopping the spread of communicable diseases, but was used to expel migrants at the southern border.
That's crazy.
The judge ruled the order violated administrative law.
These judges.
2 months later, President Biden was told he could not enforce his executive order protecting the LGBTQ community from discrimination in schools and the workplace. Then, in August of 2022, a Texas court ruled against the White House's requirement for hospitals to provide emergency abortions, regardless of a state's ban on the procedure.
All right, I think you're getting the idea here. She just went on and on.
Right.
About things, executive orders that were put on hold were basically blocked by the courts by these judges that now, for some reason, shouldn't be able to block the president. What he wants to do in executive orders.
Yeah.
How could this be? Does Trump not know that all of this happened to Biden? I don't get this, okay? And attorney Matt Elias Schwartz wondered just what these justices are going to think about this when the Supreme Court gets a hold of all this stuff. Cut 69.
I will say that we saw with Trump v. USA that the court does show a lot of deference to executive power. This court in particular, I think if I had to guess, it's a total guess. President Trump would probably get this court to overturn some big precedents. We saw their willingness to do this with Dobbs, but he would not get everything he wanted. And I think there's a bigger question here. If he received a judicial order from Chief Justice John Roberts calling one of his White House's actions unconstitutional, would he obey that order? Because when I read J.D. Vance's tweet yesterday, Vice President Vance's tweet yesterday, saying that only the executive has the authority, only the judges aren't allowed to control the executive's legitimate power, that seems
so
to
ridiculous.
Hint at the possibility that he might not. And that would be a far, far graver and more dangerous scenario to our constitutional order than simply the Supreme Court overturning some big precedents, expanding executive power, which itself, in normal times, would be a very big deal. But there's an even larger, a worry looming on the horizon, and it's in that tweet.
All right. So executive orders, you can't question what the president does as an official act. So there is that hanging out there as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have Dick on the line, but Dick, we'll get to your call in just a minute. And we want to remind you, we'll also be talking to Alyssa Toninato about the iron casting art thing, Pouring Your Heart Out.
Yes.
Coming. She's going to be in the studio with us here in just a little while. Stay with us on John and Gordy in the Morning.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
WMDX, John and Gordy in the Morning. It's time once again for Brittany Merlo.
Yes, let's find out what's going on with the weather. Good morning, Brittany.
We called off the search parties. We thought we lost you on the lake over the last weekend.
Over the Frozen Assets Festival. I was there looking around for you. I couldn't find you.
We sent out a lot of people. I just called them, though. They thought maybe perhaps they'd find you today. And we did. You're right there.
You didn't.
I got stuck.
You got stuck?
I got stuck in Wausau. With a foot of snowfall.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
I didn't make my way down there on Saturday. It wasn't the safest option, but
no.
I was pretty bummed. Yeah. How was it?
You really
It was
excited.
A lot of fun.
Yeah.
It was really a lot of fun.
You really missed.
Yeah.
No.
It was a good time.
You
there were lots of
really
kites
happened.
There. There were ice skating demonstrations.
There were only kites.
There were lots of kites, and they're just only, they're big kites. Let's get to the weather. There's more snow coming,
right? Yeah, there is more snow, right?
We had a little dusting overnight, But there's a lot more snow coming tomorrow around here, right?
No.
Absolutely. Okay. Yep. You got that cold front that moved through, brought in a few flurries. A few more of those could fly around this morning. No accumulations from that. Highs in the 20s today, but then we've got light snow pushing in by tomorrow morning, and it's going to continue throughout the entire day into the evening, and it'll pitter-patter out overnight. But we are looking at a good 2 to 4 inches into the Madison area. We could see another 1 or 2 inches into the evening hours before it leaves. Mm. So that was going to put our storm totals anywhere from 3 to 6 inches of snowfall through tomorrow. And it's going to be highs in the low 20s. So, John, this is going to be a light, fluffy type of snow.
Excellent.
You could just get the leaf blower out.
There you go. I love it. Thank you for keeping me in mind in there.
You're welcome. You're welcome. But we'll blow around and drift around a little bit, becoming annoying at night. Yeah. But overall, a little dose of snowfall. It'll clear on out of here for Thursday, but Thursday will be sunny and cold.
Breezy. All right.
And then Friday, Saturday, they're talking about some more snow, right?
We are. Yep. Yeah. That moves in through a good chunk of Friday and a little bit of Saturday morning. Most of the weekend will be dry, but we are looking at another couple of inches of there, too, as well.
Help.
That track is shifting, but definitely you're going to get it tomorrow.
Okay.
All right.
Well, Brittany, thanks for the update. We appreciate
it. You're welcome. You guys,
and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a great day.
It's good to see that you're well and didn't get lost somewhere on the lake.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
No.
All right.
Take care.
That's Brittany Merlo, our Civic Media meteorologist. Let's go to the phones. Dick has been holding on here for a while.
Yeah.
Good morning, Dick. Go ahead with your comment.
Well, you know, that George Conway thing is just as serious as it was yesterday the first time I heard it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the last thing he did say was, the next move is we have to get in the streets over this.
Mm-hmm.
He's basically referred to it as a bloodless coup at this point, and it's a constitutional crisis. But, you know.
Yeah.
You know, another day at the office with this guy. I mean, they're going to blow through everything.
Yeah.
I mean,
It's stunning. It really is, and that's why I shut down last night.
I have too. I went to local stuff a little bit more.
Yeah.
When do you have Paul Sondland on again?
Yes.
Well, yeah, the
it's
voice
be next week.
Our joyful voice in the morning.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to ask him something about the use of the street department. You were talking about the snow removal yesterday morning on John Nolan Drive. They had a big dump truck, another small truck with lights on it, and guys in the median strip. Dust flying everywhere. They were weed whacking.
Really?
Well,
you know, I took pictures.
Well, they finally got to that.
Wait a minute, you took pictures?
They've been trying to do that all summer long.
They had that all cut down last fall. They were out there with this stubble that's barely there, and they were created a dust storm on John Nolan Drive there, right? About 9:30 yesterday morning.
Well, it's nice to know it's done finally, you know.
Sam, what day of the week next week is Paul Sondland?
He's coming on Monday.
Okay, so Dick, call us on Monday to remind us to ask Paul that question.
Yeah,
thanks, guys.
That's great stuff. Thanks.
Thank you. By the way, the National Day of Protest is set for President's Day, February 17th. That's next Monday at noon. You were invited to the White House or your state capitol right down the street from where we are broadcasting, or go to your city hall, town hall. It's to resist fascism. I can say that. Fascism. National Day of Protest. President's Day, February 17th.
Do we have time for a clip that you have?
I'm not sure. The farmer's clip. Do we have that? Okay, this is Andrea Mitchell. You know, we've been talking about USAID and the money backing up because they can't release it now because nobody works there anymore.
Exactly.
I mean, they pretty much shut it down. Well, it's already affecting farmers. Here's a little report on that.
Tonight, stacks of boxes in a warehouse in Savannah, Georgia.
We've got about 300,000 pallets or cases in the building.
Not yet shipped out after USAID stopped work order 2 weeks ago.
I think right now we have about 300,000 boxes of RUTF. So a box will feed a child. It's 150 sachets, and it'll feed a child for 6 weeks, roughly, through the food aid system. So that's a lot of kids stacked up in that warehouse.
Why is it so important?
Yeah, so children that are in that condition of severely acutely malnourished. They need the vital micronutrients and the calories and the fats and the lipids poured into them. And you could do that with like a traditional infant formula. But you can imagine if you're a mom in Ethiopia or in a place where you don't have access to clean or fresh water or refrigeration, if you were to use some sort of standard formula like that, then it would go bad.
President Trump's order freezing most USAID programs was a shock to people running nonprofits like Mark Moore, to his factory workers, and potentially devastating to the families who depend on their food, says the former head of USAID.
With one in four kids under five in Sudan suffering from severe acute malnutrition, there's American food in warehouses that is just sitting there because of the stop work order and because of the fact that these programs have effectively been halted.
Many American farmers are also crying foul. Peanut farmers in Georgia and soybean and wheat growers in Kansas, because USAID spends $2 billion a year buying their surplus crops to feed the world.
We have farm commodities grown by American farmers that are sitting in American ports right now with flag vessels, U.S. flag vessels that are ready to take to the seas. And they can't take that food, and it will just sit in American ports until there is a reckoning with the grave damage that these decisions are causing.
So shutting it down causes us to just have to, you know, pull the plug and wait until we know that the U.S. government is going to take the product that we're making.
A delay in the supply chain that has real consequences for starving children who need the food right away.
That's right. 41% of farm products goes to feed the world hungry.
Yeah, and those contracts are not being fulfilled, and they're not farmers are not getting their money.
Absolutely,
either.
Yeah.
All right.
It's crazy.
When we come back, we'll talk to Alyssa Tananato. There we go. At the Pouring Your Heart Out Iron Casting Art Festival. Coming up.
This portion of the show is being brought to you by Ed's House of Excuses. The next time you need a good excuse for being late to work or forgetting your spouse's birthday, just call the House of Excuses. We guarantee that we'll come up with a good excuse for you on the spot. Our guarantee is simple. If we don't come up with a good excuse for you, we promise to give you a good excuse for not coming up with one.
Sounds like it makes some kind of sense. This is John and Gordy in the morning. WMDX, a couple of texts here, Mark out in Prairie to Texas. Hey, guys, what did they do before plastic straws? He thinks, weren't they paper back in the 60s?
Yes, of course they were.
I think so.
I remember that, don't you?
You know, this administration does want to kind of go back to the 50s and 60s. That would be paper straws. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, anyway, you can't make sense out of that. And Doug says, the truth is supposed to be funny, but George Conway's statement is downright scary.
Well, it is.
It was scary for everybody that heard that. Mm-hmm. Dad Gordy had the same impression I did, and I brought the cut in. He brought in the cut.
Yeah,
we both
were
did.
Frightened by his words. But, yeah, anyway.
Something on a more uplifting note, Alyssa Tananato is with us this morning.
Yeah,
good morning,
Alyssa. Good morning, guys. Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for coming in. Tell us about the big event that you have coming up. This Saturday.
Yeah, pour your heart out here.
Pour your heart out. This is our 16th annual public community iron pour event. It's where we make molds. We have all these workshops leading up to it where community members can come in and make a mold. We guide them through those things, and then everybody's pieces get cast on Saturday. So a live metal casting event. There's over 45 artists from across the region coming into Madison to help crew the, the iron pour with us. So everyone from St. Louis to Detroit, Minneapolis, Chicago, Minnesota, you know, everybody in the region kind of coming in and helping. So it's a really spectacular event, you know.
And these are artists that are coming in, and what kind of art are they making out of iron?
Yeah, I mean, so most of the community-made pieces are what we call a relief sculpture. So they did a one of two workshops where they make one-sided sculpture, and so it's like a high relief. They design their own piece, whether in clay or they dig directly into a sand mold. And so a lot of these are like one-sided, very kind of you know, entry level foundry 101 sort right. of, you know, right. things, but they're incredible designs. I mean, really, truly, there's people that make astonishing pieces out of these, you know, very, very basic kind of limiting, you know, medium with that. But it's just, it's incredible what people make.
I know it is really, you know, people do eye sculptures, you know, and just, it blows your mind, right? Like, what they can do with that stuff.
I know.
Now they're doing it with this, these clay molds and making indentations into sand molds as well.
Yep. Yep. Everything is sand. And, you know, it's funny. Our friends will, from out of town, they're coming in and they get to see all these molds that have been made in the last month. And they're always like, gosh, like Madison has a bunch of closet artists. Like, they're just like, these are just incredible pieces, you know, people that are not professional artists. They're just coming in as accountants or nurses or, you know, they're in administration. It doesn't matter. You know, they just have this, you know, a chance and ability to kind of bust out and do something totally different.
Is there somebody there to help them out just in case they get kind of stuck? They're not sure.
Yeah.
Right.
What are we doing here? Yeah. Those workshops are totally meant for just, you know, inspire, like explaining kind of the guidelines, the rules, what they're, you know, what they're going to achieve and examples with that. And then I'm there to kind of push them past what they think they can do, just to, you know, give them a little bit more inspiration and work through some of the strategies of how they're going to achieve some of these ideas. And so we, you know, we work together. It's usually a 2 to 4 hour workshop that they get a chance to get started. So.
Alyssa, tell us about the vendor market that you that's going to be going on.
Yeah, this is new. So our friends at Garver Events, we're collaborating with Garver Events, who know how to throw parties. They're amazing. And they have managed, they suggested having a vendor market this year, which just invites artists to kind of take advantage of this big influx of people coming in for the iron pour and for them to share their goods, you know, and their wares. But it's a very curated, very small show based in trades materials. So anybody, any artist that's kind of working in wood, ceramics,
metals,
fibers, metal, and, you know, even 3D printed, we got glass artists. So they're kind of, it's less of like scented candles and stickers. It's more of like, hey, I'm making real, you know, sculptures. So it's kind of a different type of market than you'd see at Garver, you know, typically. So.
Well, these iron castings, tell me about the size of this, because what are we looking at?
What's going on? Yeah. So they're generally between, I mean, they start with like kind of a six by six inch, like open area that they can carve into with the sand molds, but you can go a little bit outside of that. And generally, the castings are between 4 and 6 pounds, like when it's all said and done, depending on how deep they go. But they're, you know, they're manageable. You can hang them on the wall. They're not going to rip, you know, like your drywall down. I mean, they're not like huge, substantial sculptures. But some of the artists coming in from out of town are bringing their molds too. So we have a whole variety of different types of molds that will be on the pour floor, like ceramic shell molds, which is an investment casting with where they start with wax and then they dip a shell and they and it, you know, burns out, totally different process. And some of those are more substantial, very detailed, you know, legitimate artwork being made in a gravel lot.
Okay, now, Alyssa, tell us about the foundry in a box. What's that?
Yeah, this is my favorite. So very, very popular. It's a micro foundry. It's tin casting. We do it inside. It's designed by the industry to teach foundry 101 to students. So we've had kids as young as elementary school do this activity. It takes about an hour, but what it is we have these like tiny little sand molds. People can take a part of their mold. It's called an insert, and they're made by 3D printed sand. Actually, it's industry is doing this regularly, but we're showing people that this is a thing. And they can scratch out a little design, then they pack a little sand mold around it, and it's you know, the size of like a switch plate, like on a door, you know, like a gang box, basically an electrical box, and then they learn like kind of the process of two-part sand molding, and so then they can take apart their whole mold and then put it back together and cast it in tin.
Wow.
Yeah, so they get a little keychain. It's not about the keychain, though. It's about the process.
Is there, I got to ask you, though, is there a castings of body parts?
John, what are you?
What are you getting at? John?
What?
Just kidding.
What is the matter with you?
I mean, smiley faces. We've seen those.
Hands. Yeah. A hand or is something?
That's, some of the more.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some of the more, you know, the professional artists coming in, sometimes they have like anatomical, you know, they'll actually make like body castings and like more anatomical, you know, like parts. We've seen skulls being made, and we've seen, you know, like, hands or, you know, just like parts. Sometimes they'll make, you know, with sculpture, you have to make multiple castings and then that gets put together later. So sometimes it's like several little pieces that come together.
Right.
We're talking with Alyssa Toninato about the Pouring Your Heart Out Iron Casting get together. And again, 16 years you've been doing this.
Yeah, this is amazing. Our sweet 16 coming of age, man. You got to come.
Looks almost impossible. I think I saw this covered on the news.
Did you?
You have this gigantic hot molten.
Yeah, the furnace.
Cupola. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy.
It's a cupola style furnace. So it's it's coke and iron. It's very old school. It runs on air, essentially. It's just the air combusts the coke fuel and coke, like the black stuff. Then it, you know, and we tap about 100 pounds of molten metal at a time. So across the whole event, we're casting about a ton of iron. Usually, you know, so just 2,000 pounds.
Yeah, that's all.
It's pretty great. So we have an opportunity for people to make something the day of the event. I mean, all the workshops are done, but we are opening up a scratch tile tent, it's called. So anybody that's like, oh my gosh, I got to do this. We'll have a chance from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. to come. They can buy the last of the sand molds there. There's only like 40 left, I think. So it's not that many, but if anybody wants to make one, they can purchase a mold, scratch it out, like get that design in before we light the furnace up at 2, and then we're tapping at 4. So other things that are happening, the Founder in a Box is going to be at 11 to 2 p.m. So there's people that already bought tickets. So there's like, if people want to do it, I say get tickets so that you get your spot in line, because it takes about an hour to do Founder in a Box. And then there's just, then the vendor market opens at 2, goes to 8, and Garver events have live music booked afterwards from like 6:30 to 9:30 for the after party. And during the event, I'm super excited to tell you that we got DJ Real Jaguar from, you know, WORT, our friends down there. And he's going to be DJing real vinyls on the pour floor.
Cool.
I hope it snows, right? Like, wouldn't that just be a fab? I love snow.
It's supposed to snow Friday and Saturday.
Bring it. I love it.
You're ready for it.
I mean, iron and snow, there's nothing more magical. I really hope. Everyone's like, there's big snow coming. I'm like, sweet. Let's do it. I'm ready for it.
No, that doesn't work for me. But you know,
so people,
you can go in the heated tent.
Thanks. So tickets are still available. The VIP tickets.
Tickets in that heated tent where John's going to be.
That's right.
So we've
got. Get those.
How do you get those? There. If you go to the website, Feline Studios, FELION Studios with an S.com. Look for the event page or the workshops page. They're still open, and that's where you get your VIP tickets. And that's kind of where it's at. This is also a new thing for the event. We've never had like a big, awesome, like kind of elevated experience. You know, everybody just sort of stands outside cold and watching us completely comfortable on the iron pour floor. But this is going to be a heated tent access during it. There's like a lounge area. We have a branding iron station, which is kind of fun. So people can brand these little wooden coasters, and then we're collaborating with Prettiful Creations, which is a vendor at the vendor market, and she does wood burning classes, so they can brand a wood coaster, go inside, embellish it with some of her stencils and stuff. That's kind of cool. Then we have like these Pour Your Heart Out stainless mugs. That is a bottomless mug for beer that they can get at the Garver events. So that's part of the ticket. You can engrave that mug. There's like just little make and take activities. Yeah, they get a free ticket to the Foundry in a Box. And then, of course, just like kind of luxurious access to our pour floor, which brings people closer to other, like the other public, you know, there's no seating, but public standing areas. You'll get closer to the furnace, closer to the back end, kind of get to see the behind the scenes, what's going on. With the furnace, and you know, it's production.
Now,
like, it's crazy.
I'm just thinking of other holidays besides Valentine's Day. I'm thinking maybe, you know, Halloween, people could make, you know,
pumpkins.
Cast iron bats and pumpkins.
Oh, right.
And, Yes, bats. And all of that stuff.
Yeah,
wouldn't that be?
I mean, this great? You're yeah. right on tempo, because there's people that do these Halloween pours that they like to pour into pumpkins and mm-hmm. you know, like real pumpkins, and it's a wild thing to watch because iron is so hot, right? Like, do you guys know how hot?
Tell us.
We usually cast around 2550, so 2500.
Oh wow,
50 degrees. So it's the optimal casting temperature for us. Oh, we try to hit between that and 2600 degrees Fahrenheit. And when you pour that into a live pumpkin that's been carved, the thing like rattles in a way that's just possessive. It just looks really creeptacular. It's just the thing just kind of shakes wildly because of the moisture in there.
Yeah, that's awful.
It's torture. It spits all over the place. It's very Halloween.
Alyssa, how did you get into this? How did you get into iron pouring?
I know. I was born, and I was just, I knew. I went to art school. I went to the Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design you know, was a fine art sculpture student. Had no idea what foundry was, though. I did not anticipate doing metal casting at all. But I had a fabulous adjunct teacher there that just by luck was in iron. You know, it's not a typical... like metal for iron, for art, you know, it's like usually bronze, aluminum, non-ferrous metals are very art metals. But we had the opportunity in Milwaukee to pour iron right away in my foundry, you know, like first class. And so I was hooked. I love people, you know. So there's a lot of, it requires a whole team of people. Iron is very different than pouring bronze, because it just is a different furnace. It requires more people to manage it. It's much hotter. Just takes more.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So it's all happening Saturday, right?
Yeah.
At Garver?
Let's see. Garver Feed Mill on the east side of Madison, right next to Olbrich Gardens. So it used to be, this event was for 5 years at Olbrich, and now we've jumped the tracks. We're north.
It's a gorgeous place.
It's fabulous. Yeah. You guys should really come. It's such a beautiful building, good people, lots of small businesses.
What time does it open up?
It opens at 10. So, well, actually, Farmer's Market is going to be in the morning there, so that the Winter Farmer's Market, and you can come at 8.
Very good.
Yeah.
Alyssa, thank you for being with us.
Thank
Alyssa
you, guys.
Cominato.
Fabulous to meet you.
Yes.
Thanks for the invite.
Yep.
I loved it.
All right. Have a great event Saturday. Coming right back.
With a big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
.7 WMDX. Johnny,
the words right out of my mouth.
You were going to say that?
It was my turn.
What's wrong with me?
I don't know. I've been wondering that for decades. It is 7:52. This portion of the John and Gordy Morning Show is brought to you by our friends at David J. Frank, your turnkey one-stop landscaping resource, celebrating 65 years in business as being the largest landscape contractor in this part of Wisconsin. They have branches in Madison, Milwaukee, Kenosha. They take care of everything, residential and commercial lawn care, flower care, trimming, shaping, pruning. They do it all. Go to their website, davidjfrank.com. You can sign up for their free newsletter and find out all about what they're up to. They can do anything related to landscape. davidjfrank.com.
All right, let's go to the phone line. We have Judy on the line right now. Thanks for calling.
It's Judy Davidoff.
It's Judy Davidoff.
Oh, it is.
Yes.
Oh, well, yes, Judy.
And she's here to remind us what's in the isthmus.
Well, yes, it's been a while here. So what is in the isthmus this month?
Yeah, what should we be looking for?
Yeah.
Got a copy right in front of us.
We have a pretty timely cover story on mental health challenges of kids and teens. And, you know, the governor has declared it the year of the kid and is hoping to get about $300 million, I believe, in the budget passed for mental health services in the schools. We're just seeing a lot of depression and anxiety.
Well, that's it, you know, and that is... That is your cover story. We're looking at it right now. 9% of high school youth identify as straight, reporting having seriously thought about taking their own lives in the last 12 months. 30% of LGBTQ youth and 41% who identify as trans considered suicide during the same period. That's an amazing number. I'm just blown away by this.
Well, what's so amazing is that they've been vilified by politicians. That is outrageous, and that's why Governor Evers has stepped out and called it the year of the kids. I mean, it really is an important thing that we have to keep in mind. You know, with child care and everything else, we have to look at this. And it seems like the legislators don't seem to be aware of this problem at all. Judy?
Well, I mean, I don't know if they're aware. I mean, what the story shows, and, you know, in terms of LGBTQ, there's bullying involved. There's also just feelings of alienation. And that is, frankly, across the board when kids and people feel not part of a community, alienated, depression, anxiety rises.
Yeah. Well, there's a quote here by Jill Pfeiffer, Executive Director of Briar Patch Youth Services. She says, young people today hold awareness of every school shooting, war, and climate disaster. And that in of itself is a lot for most of us to kind of absorb. So I that's a great comment.
No, it's true. I mean, I think none of us went to school worrying about a school shooting. Right. And of course, that's completely different now. That's what kids grow up with.
Well, and we worried about a nuclear attack, so we had to get under our desks.
Okay. Right. Yeah.
That's true. That seemed a little bit farther away.
Yes,
though, maybe
it,
more
does.
Remote than, it does. Than what we see now. Yeah.
But, there's an acceptance. You know, there's sexual awareness as well. So there's that kind of problem. The discovery of their adolescence, I think all of this is kind of meshing together. I think a lot of adults are having the wrong impression of what's going on in schools. The kids are more adapt to all of this than what the parents think they are able to do, right?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. You know, I think there's always disconnect, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's some parents that are really involved and are following, and then there are others who, for whatever reason, work, or just that's how their parenting style is, not quite as connected. But I do think, these issues weren't there before COVID, but COVID definitely exacerbated all these problems.
That's true.
Judy,
kids were learning at home.
Yeah, Judy, you wrote an article in your From the Editor column here about local news in the time of Trump 2.0. That caught my eye. Tell us about this article.
Well, in my column, I always try to focus on issues of journalism and isthmus. And, we were struggling like everybody else, in those first couple of weeks. You had administrative orders. One day there's a funding freeze, then there's a judge, putting a stay on it.
Yeah.
And it's just, the question for local organizations, I think, is how do you cover that? I mean, thank goodness there are national groups, covering the inside piece of what's happening with the administration and in D.C., but then what's the impact on the local community? And, sometimes people don't know, of course, in those first few days.
That's
and
right.
That, that happened here. And it just, caused us, and I'm sure a lot of other organizations, to think about how to cover an administration like this, at least the local impact, when truly part of it is chaotic and maybe purposefully so.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Judy, thanks for giving us the highlights this month's Isthmus. Of course, it comes out the first Thursday of every month, and we'll talk to you again next month and get the preview of that issue. Can you give
Sounds
us a little
great.
Hint what it's going to be?
Yeah, what are you looking at?
Yeah.
Oh, for March?
Yeah.
Well, we'll have more coverage of the Supreme Court race.
Ah.
A big story on that.
Yeah,
very
absolutely.
Good. That's Judy Davidoff from Isthmus. Thank you, Judy. And
Thank you so much.
We'll talk to you again soon. That's going to do it for us. And tomorrow we will be talking with Mike McCabe.
From Substack.
That's right. Coming up next, Stephanie Miller. That's going to do it for us. Have a great day.
I think it will, probably.
That's enough, isn't it? Let's just leave it here.
Molten Iron. So I just can't get my head out of that.
Okay.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.